everyone. Rick here from Fueled by the Outdoors, and I'm here to talk to you about the Mobile Hunters Expo. It is coming up quickly, and you're not going to want to miss it. Come see what the show is all about on June 23rd and 24th at the Chattanooga Convention Center in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Come try and test all things mobile hunting. I'm talking stands, sticks, platforms, saddles, e-bikes, archery equipment, you name it, we got it. I personally can't wait to start looking at some new stands and sticks. I'm looking to replace some of my old stuff, and I know there's going to be great equipment there from some of those vendors. Our goal is to put on the whitetail event of the summer to help you become the most efficient hunter in this upcoming season. Tickets are on sale now at themobilehuntersexpo.com. And you know what? If you can't make the first show, then come out to the Northern Show at the Kalamazoo County Expo Center in Kalamazoo, Michigan on July 28th and 29th. I can't wait to see you there. Hey everybody, Rick here from Fueled by the Outdoors, and I'm here to tell you about a wonderful company, Saddy's Custom Ammunition and Gunworks. Aaron Satterfield and his family have been turning out some awesome game loads lately. I've been using the Saddy's Fatties turkey loads, and I gotta tell you, they stop a bird dead. Chris used a 20 gauge this year, I used a 12, Josh used a 20, and my son actually killed one with a 410 this year with one of Saddy's loads, and my God, do they put the birds down like crazy. Aaron Satterfield and his family have a wide-ranging array of ammunition, custom game loads, predator loads, turkey loads, the Saddy's Fatty, and also they do gun work. Please get a hold of them with any questions that you have in terms of your custom ammunition needs. Go to saddiesllc.com. That's SattiesLLC.com and tell them that Rick from Fueled by the Outdoors sent you.
Curved buck down, baby. Oh my gosh, that was freaking awesome.
This is my first public land buck. This is my second sit of the season.
I hit him. Oh my gosh, I just heard him fall.
I just shot my Kentucky buck.
Welcome to Fueled by the Outdoors. I'm your host, Rick Cates, and I'm by myself. Chris and Josh are off doing other things, and we are slowly creeping towards the time of year that we are all looking forward to next. Turkey season has wound down, and we are preparing for whitetail season, interspersed with my love of summer fishing. You gotta learn how to split time. I'm actually looking forward to getting out on the lake and on the water here before too terribly long, but also putting up cameras in the woods. We've talked a little bit about preseason scouting, and you know, I'm about a month later than what I would like to have been with regards to scouting some of the areas I want to for whitetail. But you know what? I'm going to get out here soon, and I'm going to put boots on the ground, as we've talked about, put some miles on those suckers, and get some cameras up. I'm looking forward to scouting a couple new pieces of public to see if I can't put the teachings of Jake Bush into practice, and hopefully find myself a nice large buck outside on a public property. I'd really like to try to get that done this year in Kentucky, specifically. There's a couple properties here that I'm looking really forward to going and trying out. So be that as it may, when I'm by myself, typically I like doing some conservation stuff. So this one's more of a hodgepodge of things, and reason being is that there's a couple things that have come up in the news with regards to wildlife, and I think it's important to have a touch base on. But the first thing I always like talking about this time of year, you know, it's spring. I'm not gonna tell you what day it is or anything like that, but it's spring, and this is a time of year where baby animals are out and about. So I always like giving a disclaimer during this time of year because it seems that no matter how many times that people say it or think it, someone still does it. Leaving young wildlife alone. There is an often thought that if a fawn is somewhere in the grass or in a field, that the mother has abandoned it. I don't know why this is. I don't know if it's like a Bambi effect or something like that. I'm here to tell you that that's not true. This is more of a public service announcement than anything else. You know, well-meaning people go out, they see a fawn, and they want to touch it, or they want to move it, or they want to do that. Don't touch it. Very simple. Just like if you see baby animals, don't touch them. Mom is not that far away, and leave them undisturbed. Even when they're alone, they look vulnerable. They're in a good spot. Do us all a favor. Leave them be. Deer, rabbits, birds, don't touch them. Just your friendly reminder from Rick Cates telling you, you know, to be mindful of wildlife this spring. Now that we have that out of the way, the next thing is turkey numbers. By the time that this airs, I believe every state will probably be closed out of turkey season, if I'm not mistaken. So I wanted to, you know, kind of go over something. My adoptive home state of Kentucky. You know, I've lived here for a while, but I still consider myself a Buckeye at heart. My adoptive home state of Kentucky posted their recent numbers. And when I looked at them, I was kind of surprised. And when you look at numbers that you become surprised at, it's normally one of two things. One, they're really low, or one, they're really, or the other side, they're really high. So if you go on the Kentucky Wildlife website, you know, it's one of the first things that pops up. And in big, bold print, it says, "Hunters harvest near record number of wild turkeys this spring." Now, a lot of people would say, oh, I'm going to come to Kentucky and I'm going to hunt birds. You know, good, great, grand. That's something you want to do. Knock yourself out. I can tell you this. Everyone that I talked to said there was more hunters here this year than there have been in probably the past 5 to 6 seasons. Total harvest numbers, including youth, was 35,655 turkeys this spring. That's the second highest total in the state's history, at least since they've been keeping game records. This is just a little bit below the 2010 record harvest, which was 36,000 turkeys. It's 21% higher than the 3-year average. It's 23% higher than the 5-year average and 18% higher than the 10-year average. So what all does this mean? One, you might be thinking Kentucky's got a ton of turkeys. But two, the thing that makes me wonder often when I see numbers like this is how long is this sustainable? You know, you see numbers drop drastically in a lot of states. Ohio is a one bird state now. You know, Indiana's a one bird state. I don't know about West Virginia or Tennessee or Missouri or any place. I think parts of Missouri are one bird state. But there comes a reality where you have to really start looking at, you know, what you're doing conservation wise and how that's affecting stuff. So you know, Kentucky's a two bird state. You know, no doubt about it. You know, they tried doing something a little different this year where if you're going to hunt public land, you could only kill one bird on one WMA. You had to go to a different WMA if you were going to kill another bird. Private land, you could, you know, stay on your land and kill your two birds and, you know, not bat an eye at it. We've had a couple really good hatches over the past couple of years here. But my larger concern always is that when you see large spikes in population, you start saying, is this the mountaintop? Not is it plateauing, is this the mountaintop? Because we all know that when you hit a mountaintop, you do go back down the mountain. And oftentimes, when you go back down the mountain, you start seeing things that you don't really like to see. You start seeing less birds. You start hearing less birds. You start seeing less wildlife. You start seeing less poults. The big piece is that for anyone who's listening in any state that does this, and I am a I'm a big proponent of this. If your state is sending out surveys, please fill them out. They need to know information about if you're hunting turkeys, if you're seeing poults and that kind of stuff. Kentucky does a really great job of doing poult surveys in the summer. They also do a great, they've just started doing bobcat surveys. So I find it interesting that they do that. I got one the other day because I applied for a bobcat tag and they gave me one. I didn't really hunt for them last year, but there's a reality that I think that they're also trying to figure out is predation affecting nests a lot worse than what they may believe. We've went over this plenty of times on this podcast, and I'm sure you've listened to other podcasts and heard guys talk about you know it's a ground nesting bird, and you know, foxes and possums and coyotes and raccoons, and you know, every fur bearer on the face of the earth likes to eat turkey eggs. I don't want something like this to happen, like what happened with like the ruffed grouse. You know, we're seeing birds go away in certain states. Quail, you don't see them anymore because of edge habitat being gone. But you know, be mindful of this moving forward. You know, when you start looking and planning for your next turkey season, be mindful of what all this means. And certainly if you have questions or that kind of stuff, get a hold of the wildlife agencies and what's going on there. And my biggest thing always is that just because you can doesn't mean you have to. There is the larger reality overall that it may just be now that guys aren't wounding birds as much because they're using TSS or heavy shot or things like that. And birds that would normally run off are dying now, and they're not running off and dying in the bushes. So is this a situation where birds are just dying and we're not overkilling birds? You know, we're not hitting birds in the chest or, you know, things like that where they're going in the bushes and getting eaten by coyotes, and these are just the number of birds that we would normally have killed? Or is this a case of we're in the good old days in this state of in the bluegrass, and it's ultimately going to affect everything overall? Hey everybody, Rick here from Fueled by the Outdoors, and I'm here to tell you about a wonderful company, Saddy's Custom Ammunition and Gunworks. Aaron Satterfield and his family have been turning out some awesome game loads lately. I've been using the Saddy's Fatties turkey loads, and I got to tell you, they stop a bird dead. Chris used a 20 gauge this year. I used the 12. Josh used a 20. And my son actually killed one with a 410 this year with one of Saddy's loads. And my God, do they put the birds down like crazy. Aaron Satterfield and his family have a wide-ranging array of ammunition, custom game loads, predator loads, turkey loads, the Saddy's Fatty, and also they do gun work. Please get a hold of them with any questions that you have in terms of your custom ammunition needs. Go to saddiesllc.com. That's SattiesLLC.com, and tell them that Rick from Fueled by the Outdoors sent you. Everyone, Rick here from Fueled by the Outdoors, and I'm here to talk to you about the Mobile Hunters Expo. It is coming up quickly, and you're not going to want to miss it. Come see what the show is all about on June 23rd and 24th at the Chattanooga Convention Center in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Come try and test all things mobile hunting. I'm talking stands, sticks, platforms, saddles, e-bikes, archery equipment, you name it, we got it. I personally can't wait to start looking at some new stands and sticks. I'm looking to replace some of my old stuff, and I know there's going to be great equipment there from some of those vendors. Our goal is to put on the whitetail event of the summer to help you become the most efficient hunter in this upcoming season. Tickets are on sale now at themobilehuntersexpo.com. And you know what? If you can't make the first show, then come out to the Northern Show at the Kalamazoo County Expo Center, Kalamazoo, Michigan, on July 28th and 29th. I can't wait to see you there. So, speaking of death, man, this is a great podcast so far, right? Very macabre overall. The next thing, it actually does have to do specifically with how winter kill gets into tags. And So for many of you all, if you're like me, you applied, if you're in the bluegrass or even around, you applied for your yearly elk tag, and it was a wonderful donation to the Kentucky Wildlife Department of Wildlife. And there is a reality that at some point I may get drawn. I might. I've been entering it for God knows how many years at this point, but I didn't. So it's a donation to them, and I know it's going towards a good cause. So you're probably thinking, Rick, why are you bringing this up if you didn't get drawn? Well, I brought this up because I didn't get drawn for that. But there's a lot of people who go out west. You know, Chris has went out west. Josh has went out west. I think Josh has went out west. He went. I think he's killed an antelope out west. Aaron Satterfield, who's owner of Satties, goes out west. Jeff Dennis, who's been on this podcast, we've had multiple people on here who talk about going out west and the reality of being an out-of-stater and trying to get a tag, whether that is for deer, whether it's for antelope, whether it's for elk, any type of cervid that you are going out there to big game hunt. It can be tough, and draws can be tough. And the reason why they're tough is because of draw odds and not knowing necessary tag allocations and that kind of stuff. But, there was a recent article on the Meat Eater, and it kind of goes into the fact of how snowfall, records amounts of snowfall in some of the western states really, really brutalized some of the animal populations out there. There is a, when you're out west, there's not a lot of cover in some places. Fawns die, cows die, animals die. This happens every year. However, when you have record amounts of snowfall, it's going to affect it even more. So, in their article, they did three different states. They did Utah, Idaho, and I believe Wyoming. So three pretty big states. There's very very good. there's great hunting out in each one of these places, but in each one of these places, the divisions of wildlife are recommending that they cut certain things because of the mortality. So, if you look at the article, for Utah, the tag cuts and closures, they're recommending a 25% cut, about 4,800 tags and buck licenses on worst impacted units in northern Utah, and they're proposing to keep permit numbers similar to 2022 and even increase tag numbers 20 to 25% in southern areas. Now, some of you may be saying, why isn't it just the same across the entire state? When you go out west, or, I think there's even parts of this over in eastern states too, where you only have zones. Kentucky is this way. Kentucky only has zones for, different types of deer harvest. And I'm sure some other states do too. Most states do. However, when you start looking at tag allocation, certain areas get more tags than others just because of weather and other factors. But you're talking a quarter of the tags cut in northern Utah, which is going to knock out a lot of potential tag draw for some people. Idaho, like Utah, had a very harsh winter. And, while it wasn't as bad as it could have been, it is one of the most... it's a premier mule deer place. And when you start looking at theirs, their snowpack was massive this year, and it's definitely going to affect it. As you're kind of going through and you're looking at where you can pull at, they had very mild winters and good summer conditions for a while. And, They do take preventative measures there, but not the same way that it's affecting Utah. They're not going to change much in Idaho because a lot of the stuff got tabled. There's a piece there where they're allowing science to do some of the work here, most of the work here, and they're letting themselves make the best decisions possible. You know, Wyoming, and I think that's where Chris went to antelope hunt. So they recently had a meeting where they proposed a decrease of 10,290 antelope licenses and 4,410 mule deer tags. Elk quotas are going to be increased. But, you know, I know a lot of guys who go out west to antelope hunt, and you're talking, you know, a very large amount of tags being cut. And, you know, it might only be in certain units where there might have been a lot of tags, but, you know, I think it's important to kind of recognize when this is going on that there are certain things that you do have to take into account when you're planning a big game hunt out west. And this is one of them. You know, it is important to be up on these different things that do happen out there. You know, it's very easy to be myopic and only pay attention to your state and only think about like how things are going to affect you and, you know, those type of things. It's very important overall, though, that you take into account how places you're going to be going are going to be affected by this. You know, if you're, I use the example of if I'm going to fish a lake in, you know, the middle of the country, I'm going to want to be watching weather systems that are coming through other parts of the state and other parts of the country that might be affecting that. Not just, oh, it's 75 and sunny in northern Kentucky. It's going to be that somewhere else too. You can't just have the viewpoint of what's in my backyard is going to be the same in everyone else's backyard. So be that as it may, these are important things to kind of follow through and go up with as you are, you know, going to apply for tags. I'm sure many of you have already bought your points by the time this comes out. I believe most of the places are done with that. Heck, most draws may be done with it. But this is stuff that's good to think about for, you know, deer hunting and that kind of stuff. Because if you're going out west, and you can normally buy an over-the-counter deer tag, you might not be able to do that in some places this year. You might not be able to go to that zone you wanted to do. You might not be able to go to the place you've always gone to and just been able to say, hey, I want an over-the-counter tag, and them hand you one. Things change. Things are different. But ultimately, we get to make the decisions on this kind of stuff by our own habits and our own basis and how we're dealing with stuff. One final one, and you know, we talk a lot about hunting. We do. And, you know, we primarily talk about whitetails and turkey. You know, there's one thing though that I really love talking about, and you know, it's one of my favorite fish to fish for. The striper. Striped bass. And for any of you that have ever hooked into one, you know there's nothing like when it hits your bait, especially on a topwater. It's one of the coolest things ever. But I'm not here to talk about lake striper. I'm here to talk about saltwater fish. And if you are anywhere on the East Coast, you know how big of a deal the stripers are and the striper run is. It is very important to note that there's new striped bass regulations in order to try to rebuild the fish population. And it's important to say this because there is a slot limit now. And the slot limit very much changes how and what types of fish you're going to be able to keep. So there is a minimum size limit, a bag limit, and seasons and gear restrictions for striped bass that you know, might remain unchanged, but you know, if you're looking at going up there, you'll notice that striped bass stocks haven't been what they have been. Like they've just not been. This is a massive fishery on the East Coast. It is a huge game fishery, and it's a huge commercial industry. So, if you're going up there, make sure you're paying attention to the regs and that you're looking out for anyone else who's out there, you know, trying to hook into a big one. The other one that I'm going to bring up today, and this is kind of going to be the final ones. Recently, there's a House committee The House committee passes a bill, passed a bill to delist gray wolves permanently. So the Natural Resources Committee in the U.S. House of Representatives passed a bill last week that would remove the gray wolf from the endangered species list. It's called the Trust the Science Act. And it is, it's being argued that, wolf populations in the lower 48 are well above the initial goals and, that states have proven that they can manage their populations. Now, wolves are one of those animals that everyone who I know, has an opinion on. You know, whether you kill them, whether you like them, whether you want them alive, whether you like looking at them, you know, whatever. They're cool. You know, they're kind of mysterious. They're, you know, some people hate them because they eat their cattle. Some people love them because they're just, they're neat to look at. How often do you get to see a wolf? The point of me bringing this up is that this is now going to move into, it's at a committee, and which means it's going to be given, you know, it's going to be given to the legislature. So if this is something that you want, I highly encourage contacting your representative, you know, you're in your respective district, of your state. And especially if you are an individual, if you're an individual who lives in a state with wolves, you know, these are the people that they want to hear from. And, you know, it's a very polarizing thing. And this is something that has been a long time coming. Lots of people have been pushing for this, but also lots of people have been fighting it. And, you know, this has been tied up in court for years. But I encourage you to exercise your right as an American, contact your legislature, and tell them what you think about it. It's an important thing moving forward, and it is a big part of conservation of this species. You know, once it's passed on to the state has to be the ones to manage it through means that they see fit, whether that's hunting, whether that's trapping, you know, a number of different things. So be on the lookout for that, and contact your representative and see where their head's at, because, you know, everyone's got a different opinion on it. And even if you live in a state that doesn't have wolves, it doesn't mean that your representative is not going to vote on it. Finally, it is May, and I would be remiss if I didn't state this. Many of you know that I am a therapist in my full-time job, in my day-to-day life. I love doing podcasting. I love talking about hunting and fishing. I love discussing mental health, though. And I bring this up for a very singular point. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and I know everybody out there listening right now knows someone who has struggled with it in some way, shape, or form. Hell, you might be somebody who struggles with it. It's important to be able to talk about things, be open about them, and express yourself in a healthy way. I want to encourage each and every one of you that if you know someone who's struggling, or if you know somebody who's having a rough go of it, give them a call, talk to them, and, you know, get them out, go to the woods, you know, help them out. Sometimes a walk in the woods can be, you know, the best thing, and can be a lot of the medicine that somebody needs in order to heal themselves up. I spent spent 3 days out in the woods, hiking with my wife and some friends, and, you know, I couldn't have felt better when I got back. I, you know, my body felt better, my mind was clear, was able to go into work on Monday when I went back in, and, you know, deal with a lot of the issues of the world and help people with that. And, you know, I really always want to take time and maximize the opportunity of this platform to be able to, you know, encourage people to help others. And this is a big one. So as I always state, if you've got the ability to get somebody outdoors, please do it. Kid, adult, whomever, you know, spouse, friend, get them out. It can't hurt. And if they don't like it, you know, you can still say, you know, I'm here for you to help you. So, other than that, folks, this has been Fueled by the Outdoors. I've been your host, Rick Cates, and I can't wait to talk to you all very, very soon. Shameless plug here, Mobile Hunters Expo in Chattanooga at the end of June and Kalamazoo at the end of July. We know we want to see you all there. Go to the mobilehuntersexpo.com. Buy your tickets now. It will go fast. I can't stress it enough. We have a lot of big names at both these expos, and we have a lot of really awesome vendors. Everybody, I can't wait to see you there. Guys, I can't wait to talk to you next week. Bye.